Last week we were looking at, we continued our series on building strong churches, and what we focused on last week was how the church was a base for sending, the birthing of ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? Yeah, it's an apostolic house where ministry is born and people are sent. Are we together here? And so we were able to look at that last week, and then we'll still be looking at something close to that again today. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
The truth is, a lot of us have been, we have been introduced into a church life or a church system that is a bit off the agenda of the Lord. Amen. And so some of the things that are meant to be common are sounding very, very strange and very new. It's unfortunate that some of us were born into comedian ministering churches. You get the point. Churches where comedians have a place. Of course, whatever has a place is a proof of what we are doing. Amen. If comedians have a place, then we must be joking. Am I not correct? Because that's what comedians have come to do, to joke. And then joking is an industry that intends to make sure that the idea of joking is to let you know nothing is serious. And that's why everything passes as a joke. It is to take that which is serious and show you the unserious version of it. You know, and that is what the Church of God has fallen into. You know, where comedians have access even to the treasury of God. And comedians are invited and given offerings in millions and in hundreds of thousands. And the reason is because what we have been doing is a what? It's a joke. And that's what makes the comedian welcome. But we know that it is not a joke. That it is a matter of life and death. And I'm not just talking physical death. I'm talking about eternal death. And so it's not a joke. To be ready for this service, for example, you know, I had to wait. We had to wait upon the Lord for forever just to find out what exactly would He have us say. Even when we got into the church, we have to keep trusting Him and saying, "Lord, what would You what have us say?" Not because we don't have words to say, you see, but we just want to make sure that the things we say are the things that He wants to say to His people. Are we together here?
Yes.
We must not behave as though we will not meet Him very soon. Are we together here?
Yes,
we are going to meet Him very soon. To forget that is a deception of hell. Your ability to forget that you will meet the Lord and you are going to give account of how you lived your life is a deception from the depths of hell. And so the time spent here is completely inconsequential when you compare it to the time that we should spend with Him forever. Are we together here?
Yes.
So eternity becomes a beautiful reality and a complex by which we must order our lives. Eternity must be in view. Eternity must be the very spirit upon which all our engagement is hinged upon. And then eternity has already begun, but when the body drops, the reward will begin. You know, when the body drops, we step into the full reward of eternity. But eternity has already begun. It doesn't have a starting point. If it does have a starting point, it will no longer be eternity. Because if it has a day one, it must have a last day. And so you are already living out eternity now, and then don't allow your body or the earth realm deceive you to be unaware of that. And then everything you are doing in your body is an opportunity to write for yourself the kind of reward you want to experience when the body eventually drops. Because I tell you, this body is not eternal, but every other part of you is eternal. Your spirit and your soul is eternal. And very soon you are also going to have an eternal body. One that is able to accommodate eternal life, or one that is able to accommodate eternal damnation. But it is very important and imperative for us to appreciate the fact and the truth that every day counts, every second counts, and there is the Lord has an intention, and we must track that intention and make sure that we are living our lives in the order of that intention. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
And so you also must understand that what God takes important, the world does not take important. And so you can receive the applause of men, and God is unhappy with you. And so the applause of men can never be the basis upon which you judge yourself. Because the men who are applauding you are blind. The world is blind to God. And so if we are people living for the applause of men, we might miss the Lord himself. I tell you the truth, what God counts important, this world does not count important. If you check the budget of nations, you will never see a plan for soul winning. Because the nations have other better plans. But I tell you that soul winning is what is in the mind of God. That even the way nations have decided to use the resources God gave them has nothing to do with that which is most important to the Lord. And that's a pointer to the fact that the nations are blind. And you cannot live your life by what is generally accepted. And you have to dig deep into the very word of God and find out how would he have me live. And when this becomes how you live, the truth is your ability to be friends with the world will really drop. Not because you hate them, but there will be no premise of connection. Because that which you pant after doesn't make sense to them. And that which they pant after doesn't make sense to you. And eventually we'll maintain our postures as saviors of the world. Because the reason why the world is blind is because it is dead. And so when life steps into men, then their eyes will be open to see what is important to God. Now, one of the things important to God right now is what you are doing here, sitting at his feet to learn his word. It's not a religious thing. It's not a religious thing. It's not what you do with leisure. It's not what you do because today is Sunday and you don't just want to sit at home. This is life. This is how God wants us to live. When you read the book of Acts, you'll find out that they met like this every day. It means that no day was too busy that it would not accommodate the fellowship one with another and the receiving of the word. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
I said, are we together here?
Yes, sir.
And so, while we are here, it's very important because we want to hear from him. We want him to tamper with our hearts again. So that we can be adjusted and be a people that represent the kingdom of God. Now, quickly run to Acts chapter 11 and let me say one or two things before we call it a day. I'm going to start from verse 19. I think that's where we started from the last time. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. So they were scattered on the basis of persecution, but they were preaching on the basis of salvation. Are you together with me? Now, what informed their action after the scattering was their action after the scattering was a pointer to what is most important to them. You see, because when they were scattered, if their action was to look for money, It must have meant that self-preservation was most important to them. Because this catching was a bad thing. It was not a good thing. They had to leave businesses and all of that. But even after the scattering, their response to scattering was preaching. Their response to scattering was not to set up an NGO that would care for the Jews. Their response to scattering was preaching. Now, see, you are not even scattered yet. You are not scattered. You are gathered. You are having a good time. No persecution. And yet you are not preaching. Are we together here? You know, I think many times when there is peace, sometimes we lose our senses. Yes, these guys were so full of salvation. The idea of salvation was so real to them that they were scattered. Now, how are you a refugee? And you are the one preaching to the nation that received you. You are scattered, but yet you still feel you have something the people that have received you don't have. It must mean that they have something. Are we together with me?
Yes, sir.
You know how many of our friends who have been scattered to the UK, they are not preaching. It's an abnormality. It's a sign that when they were even in the nation, in Nigeria, they didn't even understand the purpose of life. Praise God. So, we're preaching the next verse. Quickly, please. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in what? In Jerusalem. Just like we got a feedback from the church in Abeokuta yesterday. You know, them already preaching and gathering teenagers for Jesus. And so this was something close to that was happening. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. This is how apostolic houses operate. People's agenda is the Lord's agenda. They sent Barnabas. Because they heard the news, they had to send Barnabas. Barnabas did not say, I'm busy. I don't know if we're preaching here. I don't know if we are preaching here. It was not as if Barnabas ever had a plan in his life to go to Antioch. Antioch eventually became a major base for Barnabas, which was not part of his agenda, because some of you have casted your vision, your purpose on stone. That even the Lord cannot readjust you. You say, after this, you do your masters. When you do your masters for 2 years, you do your servant. When you do your servant, you do... After you have done masters, what else can you order? you can't be tampered. You can't be, oh my goodness. The church needs to repent. This drama we are doing, we are just playing. I'm telling you, we are just playing. Too much, we are just playing. The Lord told me today, he says, Zach, don't arrange my house for sinners. He says, don't. And he explained to me why. It was today he told me that. He said, because if you think, well, you make your house sinner friendly, you think you will have crowd, but you don't have God's people. But when you build God's people, you will convict the world. The way to reach sinners is to strengthen saints. It's not by making them comfortable. It's to strengthen saints. So that the saints can now be the objects of conviction. Listen, there is no big deal that a sinner comes to church and goes back as a sinner. There is no big deal that sinners have started coming to church. There is nothing special about that. You come to church on Sunday, you use biro to change numbers on Monday. There's nothing special about that. You quickly rush from club to make workers' meeting. And say, when they go finish this, more go, workers' meeting go soon start to, and you are in club dance, and both of you finish, and then you run, what's the game there? Those are not God's people. And that's what we have done. We have made the house a house that welcomes everyone, and we are clapping for ourselves. Whereas there is no Barnabas that we can send to anywhere. The pastor doesn't have the liver to say, you are going there. Because plus pastor and the person, they have no plans to go anywhere. Do you know that the only logic basis for migration currently is economic? The only logical basis for migration, even in the church, the only logical basis for migration is economic. Why? Because economy has become the most important thing to us. Can you migrate for souls? It will even make sense to you. And so Barnabas, an old man living his life, was just told, oh yeah, go to Antioch. Malos Antioch Ben. And then the Bible says he went as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. You know what the Lord is saying to me? The Lord is saying, when we begin to live like this, I will fix your economy. Yeah. That's what the Lord is saying to me. He says that when my people begin to live for me, I will fix their economy. God has a robust economic plan for us. Friends, I said God has a robust economic plan for us. Robust. It's a robust one. I said God has a robust economic plan for us. Yes. Robust one. We haven't tried him. I said we haven't tried him.
Yes.
And that's why we are still doing 250K. With pride. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and great many people were added to the Lord. In those days, you are not added to the church if you are not added to the Lord. It's not the will of God that Jesus comes on a Sunday and the people in the service will not go with him. Those are sad things. Are my friends here?
Yes,
then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. That was an inspiration of the Spirit. He just had a feeling in his spirit that Saul should be part of this work. Oh my goodness. I believe that a new church is coming upon the scene. A new one. I believe that. Now that's what I'm living for. That's what I'm trusting for. That's my desire and the passion. A church that has the spirit, the passion, the purposes of God flowing as blood in our veins. Living for nothing else except for the expansion and the establishment of God's kingdom. And nothing else but that. I said nothing else but that.
Yes.
Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. So when you ask Barnabas and Saul, what did you achieve this year? Say Bible study.
Yeah.
That's what they did that year. A whole year they began to teach. A whole year they began to teach. A lot of you have never even had a whole year of serious Bible study. You've not had a condensed year And the disciples were first called Christians. It says the first time that we saw people look at disciples and say, these ones, because the word Christian here is not how you say it now. Because how you say it now, you already aware that Christian is a religion. That's not what they were saying here. Because there was no precedence of calling any set of people Christians. What they meant here was, these people are just behaving exactly like Jesus. Because this period was not too far from after his death. Am I preaching here? And the stories of Jesus was still fresh in the city. Fresh everywhere. Fresh in the nations. And they said, the stories we hear about Jesus and these people are lying. Am I preaching here? Now, there are different things that form people's personality. Sometimes it is culture. When you are a Yoruba man, for example, there are expectations people have of you. Yoruba people will be greeting people every time. Am I not correct? Oh, greet people. Greet in the morning, greet in the afternoon, greet in the night. Yoruba man can be smiling to you, but he's angry with you.
Yeah.
You understand? He can just smile, but his heart is far from you. He can be respecting you, but disrespecting you. Ekabo. You understand? There are different things that form our identity. Culture forms our identity. Education forms our identities. Many times the spirit of the age that is functioning in a particular age. You understand? For example, there are demons of dishonor operating in this current generation.
Yeah.
Demons, it's a demon. Young people just want to dishonor and also want to discredit established things. Everybody just wants to see. If everybody's going this way, there's a new generation that says no. Have you not noticed? They say, want to question everything. And that's why they are dying young.
Yeah.
There's no generation that is dying young like this generation. You've not noticed? Dying young. It's as though the younger people are dying earlier than. It's as though young age is now old age. Because the way the young people die, young people, you see more obituaries of young people now. Now, in those days, when you see obituary, you are almost sure it's an old man. Now, obituary of 21, 23 is now a very common thing. It was not common before. Before, you will die old. Now, people are dying young. Suicide rate is very high. Because they are breaking a major scripture that says you need to honor your fathers and your mothers so that it will be well with you and so that you will live long. Now, when you introduce dishonor, you have introduced death. Are we together, friends? And so that's the spirit of the age right now. Dishonor people, speak to elders anyhow, abuse everybody. I hear lately it's that the Jew, they have been abusing, you know, abuse anyone. They should continue. That's, they are the ones that will die. Me, I'm not going to die. Continue. You know. Now, there are different things that people get their identity from. Now, the Bible study Paul and Barnabas did for 1 year, that Bible study was so strong that they had washed people of every other thing that could have been the basis of their identity. And they had introduced a new concept into them, and the people called them like Christ. Like, what kind of intensity can make a Yoruba man no longer look like a Yoruba man? What kind of intensity can wash Igbo, out of Igbo? And people say, is this one Tukundi? No, this is Christian. Now, our basis of engagement have become so weak in our days that even culture sometimes even leads in God's house. That you will not have Yoruba church. And when the Igbo man enters, he knows he has entered a Yoruba church. One man was saying, another man, which church did you go? He told the man the church is going. And he told the Igbo man told his Igbo man friend the church is going. He said, who is your pastor? He mentioned the Yoruba man. He said, you don't get sense. You did go show Yoruba man now your pastor. That's how empty. Are we preaching here? Because there's Christian religion and there's the life of Christ. That's how empty we have become. Whenever there's emptiness, there's going to be emphasis on nothingness. And one of those nothingness that you people begin to emphasize is what is culture. Are you together with me? There will be overemphasis on it. Another thing that will be overemphasis on is gender. Huh? Gender. You know, many people don't have a problem to get a contract from your female boss. You understand? How many of you want a, if you get a contract of $10 million, will you refuse it because the person who gave you the contract is a woman? Inconsequential, right? You will even prostrate. In fact, you will kneel down. David said, give me female. You take me. You are the... Gender becomes inconsequential. Am I correct? Yes. But you know what? You come to the house of the Lord and you see a woman preaching. That's when you remember a woman should not preach to a man. Now, you don't mind a woman giving you contract. If you are in, if you are about to die and you get to the hospital and say, it's a lady that wants to treat you. I remember as a young boy when I was very sick, many years ago, I was a teenage boy then. I was very sick. I was shocked. When I got to the hospital, it was a woman that was going to take care of me. And she removed my clothes and put injection inside my bum bum. Now, the malaria was so real that I couldn't protest. You go to the hospital, you're about to die, a woman doctor comes, you are very humble. Anything she tells you to do, you do it. But when you come to the house of God, you're an HOD, it's a woman who is the head of you. You say, how can she talk to me like that? Because you're unserious. So things like gender begins to have serious impact. Also things like position, we have serious, it will be very serious. You want to be the head of Dickens. Yeah. It becomes important to you. You see, those are the signs of a dead house. You see, in dead places, position is trophy. In dead places, position is what? It's trophy. When irresponsibility is common, we like to hide it with position. Are we together here? I was speaking to one pastor and then he was about to anoint new pastors. I told him, don't anoint any new pastor. No need. He says, I want to set up new pastors. I said, not yet. I said, don't. I said, later you will set up pastors. For now, let everybody go and do the work. Because sometimes when you set a ladder and you set a possibility for people, instead of doing the work, They were looking for promotion. They were looking for promotion. And you see, when people are looking for promotion, all the works of the flesh should be present. When people are looking for promotion, the works of the flesh will be present. And you already even see that in Jesus' ministry. That he made sure he didn't set offices. If he had set assistant pastor, this thing, crisis would have started. And even though he didn't set it, they still came to meet him. The mother of James and John says, sir, in your kingdom, put my sons on right and left. Out of the amount of millions of people on the earth, Jesus came and chose only 12. The message of God gave 2 of your children out of the 12. Of all the people in the world. It's so unfair. Because The 12 that were with Jesus have an eternal position.
Yes, yes.
Forever. They are forever. Nobody will be apostle of the Lamb.
Yes.
No matter how much my apostleship is shocking me. Didn't I say, you know, the Spirit of the Lord told me yesterday that I'm now an apostle of the Lamb. I've entered the heresy. There's no, it's those 12. There's no revelation. There's no way we can say, you know, that God has removed somebody's name and put Zach inside. Only those guys still wanted. If Jesus had told Ada, don't worry, we'll make them. You will see those parents will start attending service. You see, because they know there is position. It's good to check how people walk when there is no position, no hope for position.
Yeah.
Now, the walk without desire for position is true walk.
Yes.
So whenever there is emptiness, when you are empty within, you will want title. Because you need to use something to shock it. You need a title to make you forget that you are empty. And that's why very soon you'll be a lady evangelist. Whereas you are not preaching anything. And then after a while you'll be a senior apostle. You have not planted one church. You see, those are the things that form people's mindset and identity. Am I preaching here? But Paul and Barnabas did a very fantastic work. That the people were completely healed of all those tendencies. And then the people without looked at them and said, these ones, they are Christians. They are like Christ. It also means, these ones, they are not like us. So there's a church that must enter the world that the world will see and say they are not like us. Right now they know we are like them. Because we love what they love. We love what they love. The way we take money is how they take money. They meet us, they know. They know the way we are when it's time to share the money. None of us ever told them that I won't collect. They know you know that I stole money. But they did not hear you say I won't collect. So they know that. Alayedi guy, Alayedi. Egwagi Alayedi. One of our daughters here was telling me during the election, some people came to their house and were sharing money for them to vote for a particular party. And the whole people in the whole compound were coming out to collect the money and were very happy. And then they went to call her quickly. They ran. I said, college, they're sharing it too. And I said, I don't want. He said, the thing was making the people surprised. I said, I did not, you don't have to vote for them. Just collect. He said, I don't want. I said, no, you don't have to. They are sharing. Oh, yeah, Dago free me now. Dago free me. He said, I don't want. Now, that's a big blow. You are putting something in those people's hearts.
Yes.
This one is not also.
Yes.
You collect, you say you vote your conscience. You are silly. You're also wrong with your brain. Which conscience are you voting for? The conscience that could not refuse the money. You say, I will collect their money and vote my conscience. You are a thief. You are a criminal. If you are here, you collected the money. If you don't know, I'm telling you, you are a thief. You are a thief. You know your phone was stolen. And you purchase it. And you say you are not the one that stole the phone. You know a car was stolen. You bought the car. You said because it's not you that you are a thief. So there are like maybe 5 or 6 or 8 thieves into this service. How many in the overflow? If you are a criminal in the overflow, shout hallelujah. No. But are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
It is these ones are Christians. They are not us. They are not like us. Kabaya. They are not like us. I want the world to say of me, oh, it is not like us. Not like us. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
And that's what we see here. He says the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar, when disciples each according to his ability determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now the major point I'm willing to make today is that when the local assembly, why God sets up churches is to raise a different people. Huh? A what?
A
different people that have been weaned from the excesses and the folly of their culture, weaned from the spirit of the age. We can't say we are God's people and we look like the world.
Yeah.
Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Everything about you must point to the fact that you are of another kingdom.
Yes.
Another kingdom.
Yes, sir.
A different civilization.
Yes, sir.
We don't speak the way they speak.
Yes, sir.
We don't speak the things they speak.
Yes, sir.
We don't believe the things they believe. Church is not the house of the Lord is not just an addition to our life. No. It is the basis from which our life flows from.
Yes, sir.
So it's not like we have a life then. This is just one addition. No. This is where we gather curriculum. Curriculum, wisdom, spirit, inspiration, perspective. From which we do life.
Sure.
So if you're a business owner here, for example, you have seen in the scripture that a laborer is deserving of his wages. You have seen in the scripture that even though you are a master, are you together with me, that you have another master. And so when other bosses are speaking down on their own people, you never do that.
Yes.
And they say, this boss is different. When you're an employee, your loyalty to the business is on another level. When everybody is living for salary, you are living to make sure the business thrives.
Yes.
And then your fellow employee know that this one is a different employee. This one is a different one. And then your fellow top boss in the office comes to visit you at home. And sees the way you honor your husband as though it's Shango. Who has fire? They just see the way you are just honoring your husband as if he's a traditional king. And they are wondering, see the way you are treating your husband. You are different too. Say, yes, we are different. The Bible, I'm Abraham, I'm Sarah. This is my own Abraham. I obey him, and he's my Lord.
Yeah.
I said, wow, with all the courses you have, you are not civilized. He said, no, our civilization is ancient. Our civilization is ancient. Then we release into the atmosphere the spirit of conviction.
Yes.
Listen, the gospel goes beyond receive Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior.
Yes.
You don't parrot all that. It is the principles that govern your life. Friends, you live every day. If the person close to you has never heard the gospel, it's because you have never lived. Because life is louder than voice. Your life is a louder sound. than what comes out of your mouth. How you live is the greatest message you would ever preach. And guess what? If you are not preaching every day, it's because you are living only on Sunday. If you were living every day, you would preach every day. We were in the traffic. I was driving here. A damn full bus was driving here. There was a lorry at the other side of the road full with malams. And one of the people in the downfall, one of the people in the public bus, was speaking to the malam and was cursing them. I said, hey, was cursing them and releasing ethnic curses over them. And I could see demons coming from him to them. And then the guys were close to me. And I said, yeah, yeah, there. And they all answered me. And I began to speak all the Hausa I did not know. And we're all, and my car, and they were really, really laughing. And they stopped listening to that one and started listening to me. Because I made them know that in the same city, one is cursing, another one is greeting you because I love you. Because I needed to counter that demon that was coming from that person. Because I'm aware that every day I'm living. Every day I'm living. It's not Sunday. It's every day. The person that opens the gates for you. The person that the policeman that stops you. The person you are buying stuff from. We have to show every day that another life flows inside us. It's different from the one that flows in everyone. Are you together with me? When others, when our wives go to the office, and others are complaining and planning on how to buy poison to kill their husbands, our wives would give a different testimony of us. And when people are talking about all what men do, our wives will be shocked and say, where did they see this kind of men? My husband is not like that. And they are wondering, is that true? And the thing is, it is true. And that way the spirit of conviction enters the staff room. And they say, there are different people somewhere. Now that is what we do here. It is the opportunity to release a people that are different from the people of the world. Friends, we need to build strong churches. We need to be strong people. We need to be a people that live by the word, people that live by the spirit. That is the word for today. I told you it will not take long. I love you so much. And we're in this together forever.